called rhythms and the rhythms in your life. And I want to encourage you to rethink some of the rhythms, those daily patterns, those regular things that you get in a practice of doing, and become intentional about what you want to change and really discover, for some of us, why we're doing what we do. Did you ever do something? And I did a series of messages last year called, Why Did I Do That? And sometimes we're doing things out of habit, out of normal, out of rhythm that yield no great fruit in our lives. But God is interested in how you and I, we spend our time, we spend our energy, our resources. He's interested in what we dream about, and he wants to have influence on that. And when we create intentional rhythms in our lives, rhythms that are planned with a purpose, rhythms that are planned with God in life, he, because of that, will bring us closer to the destiny and what we have been created for in our own lives. And rhythm will create peace. It will bring joy to your life. It will help you and your decisions and your everyday actions so that the culture around you or some of the habits that you have already learned aren't a part of your life anymore. And I know, and give me just a moment, I'm going to get into this because some of you are sitting there thinking right now, well, I can't change. I've tried to. And that's not true. You can change. If God is in you, the Bible says, there's a scripture, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. When he is in you, he brings life to you and I. In the scripture in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, I love this. It was after the flood and with Noah, and God made a promise. He says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Look at that. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night, they shall never cease. That is a rhythm that God has set into place that is moving all the time. And the only part of that scripture that you and I can have any influence on that changes or influences our lives is the part where it says seed time and harvest. Because cold and heat, that's going to happen. Winter and summer, that's going to happen. Day and night, that will never cease. But I was a farmer for a while, and I learned that whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And as true as it is that those things will never change, seed time and harvest will never cease. The only thing that's different is what you and I plant. Listen to me now. And what we plant in our lives is what is harvested. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I, there's certain moments in our lives where we can do something that's completely out of character. It's out of who we are. We, you know, the right circumstances happen, we blow up at somebody, we get mad, we say something, we act out. You know, maybe you were going down the road and we find ourselves speeding and the policeman pulls us over and he says, you know, I stopped you. And you look right at him and you lie. You say, no, I thought you just wanted to say hi to me. Maybe you did it out of character that day. But what you and I plant in our lives, we will harvest. I studied on this a little bit, and it turns, psychologists call it a circadian rhythm. It's a 24-hour cycle of our psychological process that we engage in on a regular basis. 24 hours. It's what our life becomes. And some people think, well, you know, again, this is what I do. This is just how I am. I have to do this. I got to do this. And that's not true. Because if you look at the scripture, again, in Genesis 8:22, seed time and harvest, whatsoever man sows, that will he reap. There is a moment of planting and a moment of harvesting. And in this, in that process, in that 24-hour cycle, you can change that. You and I have the power to do that. It's like a person that works a night shift from maybe 10 p.m. to 6 o'clock in the morning. And somebody says, well, I could never do that. The truth of it is you could do it if you begin to discipline yourself to go to bed during the day and to get up at night. Are you listening to me right now? And so when we do that, we create what is called the circadian rhythm. It changes in our lives. It may take you 2 or 3 weeks to do it. It may take you a month, maybe take you 6 months. But if you continually sow in that area, your life, your rhythms will change. And that's why I want to encourage you to be intentional about what you do, about the rhythms in your life. And some of the things that we can be intentional about is our attitude. I read this quote this week, a bad attitude is like a flat tire. You won't go anywhere until you change it. Isn't that so true? Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, so chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline, be even-tempered, content with second place, and be quick to forgive an offense. These are the rhythms that God wants you and I to put in our life. And he's developed you and I, and he's made these available so that we can adapt them into our life. And sometimes we go through hardships, sometimes disappointments, losses, sometimes in through all that, we think, where is God in that? The reality of it is he's already made a way out for you, and he already has intended for something good to happen for you on the other side of that. Come on, can I hear one amen today? And maybe you were raised in a different way, but God has, through his word and through, listen to this, his people. This is why it's so important. The house of God, the church, Bible groups, men's groups, women's groups. That's why it's so important for you to become a part of that. Because we think, well, I could never do that, or I could never act like that. And we hang around the same bunch of people that are creating the same junk and nonsense in our lives, and nothing ever changes. And God says that through his word and the people that he puts in our lives, it will change the rhythms in our lives. I'm feeling God in here right now. I don't know about you. You won't change. You can't change the way you were raised, but you can make a decision to change how you're going to live from here on out. In an airplane, there is what's called an attitude indicator. I love this. It gives the pilot in command the indication that either his nose is straight, he's going up, or he's going down. When I was getting my pilot's license, I had to do what's called IFR training. That's flying, and you can't see outside. All you can do is look at the instruments, and that attitude indicator would tell you everything. It would tell you if you're banking right, left, if you're going up, or if you're going down. I remember one time, because they put this hood on you, you can't see outside. And my instructor says, how you doing? I said, I'm doing real good. What do you think? He says, if you keep on going this way, in 2 minutes, we're going to drill into the ground. I didn't feel it. My senses didn't realize it. This is very important for you to know. When you are flying in an airplane, you can't even tell if it's going down. You can tell sometimes if it's going up rapidly. But if it's ever so slightly off, either way, you're going to find yourself going in that direction. And the attitude indicator indicates, and the pilot in command can make that plane go up or go down. And I'm not saying to you and I that you will never have a bad day and that nothing will ever upset you. But what I am saying is you are the pilot in command of your life. And you have the ability to trim that plane, that life, that nose up and take you out of the clouds, out of the storm, out of the circumstances, out of the anger, out of the hurt, out of the disappointment, the loss, the addiction, the failure. You control that ability to be able to do that. And if you Trim that nose so it goes up. You will come out of some of the old messes that you have had your life in. Come on, I know what that's like, to go through some of that stuff and think, I can never get out of here. No, you can trust God. You can lean upon His Word. You can go to the house of the Lord. You can get around good people that have already been through what you're going through and can tell you, this is the way. Let's walk in it together. And when this becomes natural in your life, it begins to develop in you these natural circadians of rhythm. It changes who you are. It changes what you do completely. Changes. And what would happen if we begin to make some adjustments in our home, in our marriage? Instead of coming home being critical and being negative, you would come home and you would speak words of life. Instead of bringing an attitude home, you would bring some flowers home. Come on. How many of the ladies give me an amen on that? How about when you walk into your workplace, it's negative. The tone is always down. And as hard as it may be, you decide when you go in that day that you're going to lift up that nose of your life a little bit. You're going to lift up the direction of what you're going. And when everybody else is complaining and negative, you bring in a little box of sugar love for everybody and just make them all happy. That's donuts, is what I'm talking about. Instead of you just getting in the middle of it and say, yeah, this is that way, yeah, it's that way. Come on, raise that up a little bit. Isaiah 61:3 says, give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And before you and I can put on that new garment, we got to take the old one off of us. And I've learned that some people like that old garment. Come on, there's some old garments that I like. And getting rid of them is hard to. I've told you about the story about my old bib overhauls full of holes and rips and patches on top of patches. And my wife buys me new ones. I don't want to wear them. I like the old one. But there was another thing that I was reminded of. In my house, I had these pair of shorts. They were my go-to shorts when I was home. They were full of holes. They were ripped. They looked like a rag wrapped around me. And the trouble with them was that the only people that I could wear them around was my wife because, well, amen. And she says, honey, will you please get rid of them shorts? And I said, no, because I thought there was some kind of redeeming value into those shorts. When I put them on, it was like I felt, you know, a part of, I don't know. Until one day, I was in my office at home. I was studying. I had worship music on. I had my cup of Starbucks coffee on my desk. And the doorbell rings, and I get up, and I walk to the door, and I open the door, and there's a man standing there. And when he looked at me, it dawned on me, I had those shorts on. Not a good scene. He looked down at me. He looked up at me. The conversation was short. He turned around and walked away. And I thought, I got to get rid of the old shorts. Some of you need to do that with the attitude. Some of you, you say, well, that's just the way I am. That's who I am. Either like it or leave it. When in reality, you can change that. You can take off that old garment, that smelly old thing, that ripped up holy thing that you are clinging on to so tight, and you just got to have that. You can get rid of that and put on a garment of praise and see your life begin to go higher in God. Ephesians 4:22, put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. And look at how he describes it. It's corrupt through deceitful desires. And to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self. Created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. God wants you and I to get rid of that old thing. Throw that thing away. Quit saying, you know, it fits and it's just who I am. Quit saying that. Start saying, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Start saying, if any man is in Christ, he is brand new. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become brand new. Start adapting and putting your arms around things that God has for you, not things that you think are so important, like your attitude. And it'll change the rhythm of your life. It'll change the outcomes of your life. You know, I've talked to husbands. I've shared with husbands and wives for 25, 30 years now. And I could make a list of the men that I've talked to that I've said, bro, maybe you could change a little bit. How about you taking some flowers? Oh, she don't like flowers. Can I tell every man in here, if your wife tells you that, she's lying. I don't care if they make her, one guy said they make her sneeze. I said, take them anyway. He took them. I'll never forget it. He calls me up 3 days later. He said, you'll never believe what happened. I go, oh, try me. He said, I took flowers home to her, and she cried because she loved them so much. It's all in your attitude and mine. We have to change that. Listen, another thought, another rhythm that we could change is our ability to listen, not only to God's voice, but to one another. I've had people speak into my life over the years that have brought me hope and have brought me life and have changed me and molded me. But I need to have God speaking into my life as well. And we have this tendency to ignore the important so we don't miss the latest. We want to know everything that's going on. We live in this 24-hour-a-day news-on-demand cycle that is coming to us at just a speed and a rate faster than it ever has before. And we lose and we get caught up in that and we don't stop to listen. To listen. Proverbs 3 and 6 says, listen for God's voice in everything that you do. Everywhere you go, He's the one that will keep you on track. And when we listen to both God and one another, we experience, you know, this richness of God's kingdom in our life. And we can share the love of God that He has promised to you and I on a regular basis. Let me tell you something. We need one another. We need to be able to have conversation with one another and listen to one another. Are you hearing me today? Are you listening? Listen to one another. When we listen to both God and one another, we experience life and God's best in our heart. Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to counsel. Accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your day. Somebody needs to, you need to read that and listen to it again. Listen to counsel. Accept discipline. And again, if I had a nickel for every guy that said, nobody's going to tell me what to do. You arrogant knucklehead. You need to be quiet and listen to counsel. That was for somebody that's probably not here this morning. That you may be wise the rest of your life. See, you start today. This life starts now. You say, well, I've tried all that before. No. Because until you change the rhythm of your life and you stay with that, nothing ever changes. It's not a once a week thing. It's not a once every so often thing. It's a regular. Our attitude and our ability to listen to God and to one another. I thank God for the great men and some women that He has put into my life that speak into my life. I tell people all the time, I have pastor friends, they say, well, my wife told me that I shouldn't do this, and I stopped them, because I've had great men of God tell me, when your wife speaks to you about something, it's like the Holy Spirit speaking. And I've looked at pastors that have been struggling in their relationship with their wife, and I say, listen to her. Listen. Got to practice that. You got to put that in the rhythm of your life. And then the last thought, this is just imparted to me in my sleep. God spoke this to me about creating a rhythm of celebrating in our life. And I know, you know, like some of you, it's like my old shorts. You say, well, it's just not what I do. I don't do that. We've never been big on that. You know, I don't celebrate birthdays. We just don't do that. Can I tell you something? God wants to create in your life and in mine a rhythm of celebration on a regular basis. Many times when we go or I do a funeral service, they refer to it as a celebration of life. Can I tell you all something? Don't wait until I'm dead to celebrate me. Have a party before that. Let's get together. Let's have a party. And when I'm talking about celebration and having parties, I'm not talking about that you got to get wasted, you got to use alcohol, drugs, or be lewd. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about a godly time of rejoicing and just laughter and a moment in our lives to celebrate, whether it's a birthday, an anniversary, a graduation, a holiday, football, soccer, basketball, weddings, whatever it is. Let's celebrate it. If somebody gets a raise and they tell you about it, come on, let's celebrate it. Make them take a part of that and let's go out and eat together. But we're going to celebrate it. And you should be looking for these opportunities in your life. In fact, the Bible says in John chapter 2 that the first miracle that Jesus performed publicly was where? At a wedding, at a celebration. He turned ceremonial water pots into wine. The Bible says in John chapter 2 and verse 9, when the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, he called the bridegroom over and he said, "This is wonderful stuff." He said, "You're different than most. Usually a host uses the best wine first, and afterwards, when everyone is full and doesn't care, he brings out the less expensive brand. But you have kept the best for last." The miracle at Cana in Galilee was Jesus' first public demonstration of his heaven-sent power. Obviously, there's a whole lot more to this story than what we just read here in this moment. But I want to share with you that it is obvious that the first miracle he could have done, it could have been recorded that he opened blind eyes, which he did. It could have been that he unstopped deaf ears, which he did. It could have been that he reached down and lifted a paralytic up so that they would walk again, which he did. It could have been the first miracle with the woman with the issue of blood. He did heal her, but it wasn't the first. The first miracle that he performed was at a wedding. It was at a celebration because God's perfect timing is always right. And he calls you and I to celebrate. In full disclosure, I have not always been the best at this. And this week, as I was pondering it, I had this dream that God printed right on my heart. In the dream, we were at a party and everybody was having a good time. And there was a song playing. And I'm like, I remember that song in my dream. But then when I woke up, I couldn't think of the song. Man, I hate it when that happens. So I did what every wise person does. I Googled songs with celebration in it. My goodness, dozens and dozens of songs. And I started listening to a few. And then I called my wife into my office and I told her this. And she starts singing songs of celebration I didn't even know about because she's like a hymnal, you know, walking. And she just starts talking and she starts singing. And we start singing these songs about celebrating. And I'm reminded of how God wants us not to wait until we're dead to have a celebration. That we are to celebrate now and to do it the right way. Not the way that the world tries to imprint on us, but to get into our lives the rhythm of true celebration. Look for the ways to have a celebration right now. The God kind of way. You know, when my boys were little, Ben, Ryan, Garrett, just a little baby, we used to do these things, and we didn't have much. But when I'd find out their mother would be gone for an evening for something, I'd go to the store. I'd buy 3-4 kinds of ice cream, 3-4 kinds of syrup, nuts, sprinkles, and everything else. I'd bring them home. And they'd see me come in, and they'd start scampering around real happy because they knew what was going to happen. When Mom walked out that door, I said, "Okay, boys, we're going to break the rules tonight." And we'd eat whatever we were supposed to, but then we'd bring out that ice cream. And these kids would be, they'd be running around the table. We didn't have much. We didn't have anything. But I'm going to tell you what, we had a celebration in that house. We had every kind of ice cream, chocolate, vanilla, Neapolitan. We had it all. We didn't go for the crazy panda paw. I don't even know if they had it all then. But we had syrup, chocolate syrup, caramel syrup. Come on, get any amens in here this morning. We had nuts. We had peanuts. We had walnuts. We had pecans. We piled it up. Put the put the syrup on it, put the sprinkles on it, pull out the whipped cream, slap it on there. We not only had one cherry, we had two or three on that bowl. And we'd celebrate. And the kids, they'd have chocolate all over their face. Their hands would be all sticky. There'd be sticky prints all over. I'd try to clean it up as good as they could. But when their mother got home, she said, "You broke the rules tonight, didn't you?" Because my brothers and my sisters, I learned, this just came to me, that when you live a celebratory life, it just doesn't come and go. It stays in your spirit, and there's a residue left where you're at. You begin to rejoice. You have that going for you. You have that, the joy of the Lord being your strength. I woke up with these scriptures on my mind this morning, Luke 15:10. In the same way, I tell you, joy breaks out in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. There is a party going on in heaven when someone says yes to Jesus for the first time. I love that. The Bible says in Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving in your hearts and into his courts with praise. The Bible says in Psalm 122, 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And even when we give, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, 7, that God loves a cheerful, that word is really described as a hilarious, joyful giver. God loves that. Why? Because the principle out of Genesis 8:22 comes alive. Seed time and harvest. Whatsoever man sows, he reaps. And God loves a cheerful giver because he loves to bless his people. Psalm 144:15. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. And for some people, you've let other things become your Lord, your master, and what you live for. And you haven't made him first place in all of your life. And sometimes people think that being spiritual is looking like a sourpuss with their face dipped in lemon and vinegar. And God says he wants to put joy in your heart. He wants to put rejoicing in your heart. He wants to give you a heart that celebrates in everything, the Bible says. Not for, but in everything. Give thanks, for this is God's will for you this morning. So as a church, as the people of God, let's not have our noses of our attitude indicator down, pointing towards the ground, always mully grubbing around the chickens and scratching on the ground. Let's lift it up. Let's change our attitude. Let's listen to God and to people. Let's live a life, a rhythm of celebrating the goodness of God regularly, every day in our life, and watch and see our lives change for the glory of God. Come on. Are you with me on that today? Bow your heads, close your eyes with me. Oh, the Lord spoke to me in this so much. Just wants to transform our lives. That thought, that circadian rhythm, that regular rhythm that we do every single day. Maybe for some of you, God wants to just change that up. Do the same thing over and over and over. Maybe you just need to change it up. I'm not telling you to go out and hurt yourself or hurt somebody else or sin or do something foolish. I'm telling you, change the rhythms, the patterns of your life. And watch life come to you. And joy come to you. Some of you are so rigid. I've had people get mad at me because I don't teach and preach out of the King James only. Thinking, you need to get some New International Version in you, or New American Standard. Change that rhythm in your life today. I want to pray for you. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Christ, you need to make that decision before you leave today. There's no getting around that. That will change the patterns of your life. Before I gave my life to Christ, I was all over the board. But when you give your life to him, he's not trying to change you from on your outside, but he's working inside in your heart, and he's daily making things new. The things that were common, the places that you went, the people you hung around with, they'll all begin to change because he's changing who you are, changing the rhythms of your life. I want to pray for you this morning. I want the prayer people to come on down to the front. As I close in prayer, if you've never given your heart to Christ, come down. Ask one of these folks to pray with you and for you this morning. And then when you leave here today, check your attitude indicator. Watch when people want to talk to you, if you're giving them your attention or something else. And then look for ways this week, today, to celebrate. Spirit of the living God, I thank you that you are here in our midst today. You're changing, you're rearranging some things that we have gotten used to. Lord, you're going to move them around. You're going to change them. You're going to create new rhythms that we live by. Lord, I thank you for that today. Pour out of your Spirit upon each one I ask here today. I pray your blessing as we change, as we allow you to influence who we are. Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor for it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Come on, and everybody said a great amen. I love you. You need prayer today. You want to give your heart to Christ. Want to give you a Bible. Want to pray with you. Want to help you this morning. Go in his grace. Love one another today. God bless you so much.